Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. I'm sorry it didn't want me to get on. So I hope this isn't part of the giant muting me conspiracy. But if it is, well, let me know.
Yes, I think you, I don't know, Sherry, but you're very faint for me.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Is that any better?
A little bit.
Not much, huh?
Okay. Yeah, no, that works.
Okay. Well, if
all right.
Maybe other people can let us know if not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so our assignment from yesterday, what is the most loving, compassionate thing you could do for yourself right now? And let's hear from our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Good morning. This is Greta.
Oh,
hey, Greta.
So glad to hear your voice.
You very well, so.
Oh, good.
Just from that perspective. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I certainly wasn't expecting to get on, so I'm just going to breathe here for a minute.
It's nice to fool I, isn't it?
Well, I will tell you that right before the call, I said, you know, I better put myself in the queue because I'm just feeling pretty identified with this voice that's telling me what to do.
Aha. And there you are.
Yeah. So I wanted to check
ask
in.
And we will receive.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting place to be, right? Because I know that feeling of identification. I know that's not a compassionate place to be. And I mm-hmm. see that life can support me if I look in the right direction.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you saw all of that, and you responded, right? It wasn't, well, I guess I better put myself in the queue, and then the voice comes in and says, oh, no, you don't need to do that. You know, nah. But you went ahead and did what you were guided to do.
Right, and that's what we're practicing with, right, this assignment that, do this compassionate thing for yourself, and, you know, what find one thing you can do. And it was interesting because on yesterday's call you said, and you could do that all day. And I never would have thought of it. You know, I would have just been, well, we'll find something, one thing. And it was like, no, we can do it all day long. It's not
right.
We can do it right now. Put ourselves in the queue.
Moment by moment by moment, we can ask that question and we will receive that guidance, that direction, because that's how life works.
Yeah, it's really helpful for me right now. I've just been kind of, bamboozled a little bit, I guess, in that how place of, well, I really want life guidance, but I don't know how to ask for it exactly. I'm not sure what I'm doing or not doing. And so, you know, if I get all in that noodling, then we're right here practicing, and it's like, well, clear as a bell. You just get out of the noodling and get right here and ask that question. What's the most compassionate thing you can do right now?
Yes. And if it starts feeling a bit much to ask the entire question, it can turn into the, you know, the Got Milk ad campaign. Got Compassion? Or it could even be shortened to Compassion? And just that, remembering to do that and saying that, you are where you want to be. You're here to receive it.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I just did want to add that I'm just so thrilled to do this practice with everyone, and the experience of whole mind all the time of someone says something that's like, oh, my gosh, I was just there, or just seeing that, And this way that we're practicing together, where we're all looking at the same thing, and then every day I just get the support that I need to see something about it, whatever I was or wasn't seeing, and it's just wonderful. So I'm deeply appreciative of this.
Yeah, it moves us into a perspective, doesn't it? Increasingly, this, what we're all doing together, becomes more real to us than that other world we used to live in. You know, it's kind of like waking up in the morning, and when we're really caught in egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, waking up can be kind of a traumatic thing. You know, groggy and kind of out of it and don't feel good and starting to get messages of what's wrong and that sort of thing. And the more we practice, the more we're present, we start having that feeling of waking up awake, really here and aware of what's going on. And that's the movement that I project we're making in practice doing this process together.
Right, right. What's dropping in right now is just that the opportunity to do that together, we show up for each other, right? Ashwini said something about the word participation the other day. And so we're showing up for each other. And even if I'm still a little bit groggy, when I get on the call, I can come to and be and be awake. Yep.
You can come to into kindness.
Yeah.
Which is the other thing we're doing for one another.
Yeah. It's a great gift for everyone. And just this awareness that participating together to really understand the value of Sangha has just been vital, I think. It's been a real awakening for all of us. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Greta. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ashwini? Ashwini?
So, Sherry, I'm going to bring another caller on while I troubleshoot what's going on. So here we go.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Next caller, we're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello. This is Kim from Vashon calling.
Hello, Kim.
I didn't expect to get on either. I'm sitting in front of the fire with my mom and my doggie listening to the show and thinking about how to be compassionate every minute. And
yes, of course Kim, you're not thinking about that.
No.
Right? You're just experiencing that exploration.
I'm experiencing that exploration, and I really appreciate what Greta said about let's keep these mantras going every minute. Why do we just have to do it once a day? Because it helps to create the new grooves in our brain and make them stronger than the old ones.
Yes. And, you know, we were talking the other day about reminders. I don't know when it was, but so with something like this, compassion. All right, so we start doing the write it on Post-its and put it up everywhere around. So the action, so it drops in to write it on Post-its. There, I'm here where I want to be. I'm writing it. I'm here where I want to be. I'm putting them up. I'm here where I want to be. I'm seeing them and saying to myself, compassion, that's right. That's where I want to live. I'm here where I want to be. And so we practice extending that that awareness, that clarity, into more and more and more of our day.
Yes, and I have note cards and things written on my hands, and my story a few assignments was about awareness junkie woman, so that's my hero, and I take her with me everywhere. So,
What is the dog's name?
The dog's name is Zelly, and there's so much compassion that goes back and forth between me and Zelly.
Yeah, and I just thought, you know, you could call her that for whatever period of time.
The awareness junkie woman?
No, compassion.
Oh. Compassion, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun to see that. It's so easy. Why is it so easy with a dog? Why?
Well, because they live in the unconditional.
And so they just reflect that back to us.
You go to the unconditional in her presence. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Which, again, is why we had a great conversation about this, I thought, last night in group at the monastery. So you feel that with her. And this is what Helga was talking about with her little boy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You feel that with her. Yep, mm-hmm. You feel that with her. And then you practice feeling that, and you feel that in other places, say, with mom, okay,
mm-hmm.
and then with children and with the little flowers that are popping up around us when we walk outside, and with the birds and with the gate. So we're recognizing that feeling of unconditional love, compassion, and we're practicing going to that experience more and more and more until, again, as we were talking about with Greta, that becomes more real to us than this hateful nonsense that has taken root in our heads.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
Thank you so much. Go ahead.
It's nice to picture the three of you there, you and Mom and little compassion by the fire. It's very lovely.
Little compassion.
All right.
All right. Good show.
Thanks, Kim. Good show.
Go
happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kim. You know, Sherry, the part I love the most about that practice you were recommending, as I put up the note, it brings me back to here.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
If we don't complete that part of the practice, then even if we're doing what brings us here, we don't experience that that's what we're doing.
Yes. Yes.
Because the narrative is still the conditioned story about, well, I put up the note, but I don't feel here. That there's a way in which we have to follow that projection back to own the fact that compassion is my experience in this moment. After that.
Uh-huh.
That makes it more real.
Yes, 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 precisely. So with what you're saying, I am training myself to experience that experience.
Yes,
I'm training,
exactly.
Right? I'm training myself to be present for what it is that I want my life to be.
Right, and what it's not a very good word, it's a loaded word, but what I feels like, because I think that was the discussion with Helga that we had, and that carried through to the monastery yesterday, which is we have to find that place in ourselves.
Yes.
And know how to get back to it. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because what I think many of us must have experienced in that original conversation with Helga is, so we touch into that deep place, or Kim with Compassion Dog, right? We touch into that deep place of unconditional love. And what we've done is make contact through the layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate to find that deepest place within ourselves. And that's the journey that we're practicing making all the time with awareness practice.
Mm-hmm. And in some way, you know, that suggestion to call the dog compassion, It's the same training where instead of being conditioned to say, this boy brings me to this place or this dog brings me to this place, it's your thing of if all the atoms were pink, we would know that suchness was everywhere, that there's a way in which we can be present to compassion everywhere because presence is compassion rather than this is what brings me to it, which still maintains that separation.
Right? I was just doing that as you were saying it. So I'm standing here looking out at, and instead of a tree, seeing compassion, and then looking at the fence, instead of seeing a fence, seeing compassion, that each and every we would think of as object that our sight falls on, or everything that we hear, you know, all of that. If we saw that as compassion, if we can sort of renamed it compassion instead of all these separating ideas with the words and the thoughts and the that sort of thing, it starts to be that feeling of bringing it all home.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, very unitive experience.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Phil from California.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
We could just call you Compassion.
We could, yeah, well, when same thing when Ashwini was saying that, I was looking out the window, too, and I was thinking, and everything is compassion. And, you
yes!
know, it's a reality. It's not like, oh, I'll just call this tree compassion.
Right.
It really
oh,
is.
that's such a big point. What is not real is what we have done to it, right? To separate everything out and give it a name and give it an importance and put it in a hierarchy and decide what, all of that. That's what's false.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and if we could, like you said, experience. I just saw this is kind of a little distant away, but this bird flew and this city landed on the tip of the tree. And, I mean, if that's not compassion, I don't know what is. It's just great. So, yeah, I'm going to use that practice for sure. Because it is true, you know, compassion is at least, I don't know if all the emotions are like this, but compassion I know is not an emotion, but it's a reality. But you can actually feel it in your body when it arises.
Yeah, so in that way it's a feeling, isn't it?
It's a feeling, becomes a feeling, sensation, and I think it feels like right before that something, particularly if it's not being for me being recognized, something like cracks open, and or there's this little movement, and all of a sudden you know it hits, and it's there, And then palpable. When you, if we're really aware of that, we can even feel it in its, you know, a lighter, you know, like right now. I don't have any big movement of compassion, but I'm experiencing it.
Yes.
I can feel something.
Yes.
It's not.
Yeah. It's not like you're moved to tears, or you want to break into your version of Ode to Joy. It's not like that. I mean, sometimes it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's just that little thing of joy that passes through when you see the bird light on the branch of the tree. There's
That's right.
Recognize
it like that. And
whenever
I'm not present, that is not there. I mean, am present, all I have to do is focus my attention on it, and compassion is there. It's just there, but I'm not paying attention to it.
Yes, That's such a great point. It doesn't go anywhere, does it?
No.
We go. Which makes coming back such a delight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We go away, and then we come back, and it's oh yes, here. Oh, it's beautiful.
Beautiful. I wanted to tell you what happened yesterday when I woke up grouchy, and Yeah, I hadn't slept that night, you know, and it was a perfect opportunity mm-hmm. for conditioning to come in that, mm-hmm. that morning. And I thought, you know, it's just telling me stories, but I was even grouchy again about conditioning being there. And so I opened the book, and there it says, what is the most compassionate thing you can do for yourself right now? And I said,
not be grouchy.
I laughed, and life dropped in two-handed recording. And so did that. And by the time I got through, I drew a picture too. By the time I got through with that particular right there. But then as I was drawing the picture too, the whole thing was forgotten. And because part of what was, it's all right to be grouchy. You know, I don't care about you even if you're grouchy. People think sometimes when you're grouchy, you're cute, you know. So I said, oh, I'm grouchy. And somebody said, well, you're still cute. Which I don't know if that's a compliment, but...
Well, it's a really important message, though, isn't it, Phil? Because in the world of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, if you are not meeting a standard of how a person should be, then you are not cute. You must be
right.
judged and criticized and rejected. But, you know, when you were 3 or 2, whatever you were doing, people thought it was cute. Well, nothing changed except the perception of conditioned people about conditioned behaviors. And when we drop that, we realize you're still who you are. Whether conditioning has you and you're grouchy or not, you're still authentically what you are, and you are a unique expression of life and inherently lovable. As we like to say, your goodness is established. It's not conditional.
Yeah, wow. That's beautiful. It's such a good point, you know, that we always are who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only our perspective that moves way and changes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I didn't change any at all, just, you know, doing the picture, except I got completely having fun with it. And so my whole everything changed.
Yeah.
But,
you got
it
here.
I didn't have to at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, you got here to what is really so.
Yeah, and actually, as soon as I started the recording and listening and all that, I didn't care if I stayed grouchy or not.
Right.
You know, I can live 2 days grouchy. It's not a big deal.
right. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, but it's more fun. It's more fun to be present and grateful and
definitely,
enjoying
compassion. Yeah. So I was very thrilled that it was gone. I noticed. Said, okay, good.
Right, here we are. All right.
Thank you,
Phil.
So, thank you for all of this. Thanks, Ashwini. And this is getting more and more belated, but happy birthday. It was a wonderful event. And in both days, the practice day and the no self-hate day. And yes, no self-hate, period, any day, right?
Any day, that's right. We choose compassion instead of self-hate every day.
Yes,
yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks, Phil.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Oh, Sherry, I am just dancing over here with all the insights of that particular conversation.
Do tell.
Well, that first of all, you know, that place of grouchy, that recognition of the awareness of grouchy in the way that we were naming it, if we named it compassion rather than grouchy, what we're really doing is to be with however life's energy is presenting in the moment, which is compassion, right? Because what happens when we move from grouchy to present is we lose... Sherry?
Yes. Oh, there you are. Oh,
okay.
Praise be.
I tried to unmute another caller because I went away, but that didn't work either. So
yeah,
I think we're
it was
at
so,
the end of this.
eventful show. So it was so funny because you said we lose. I think it was lose, not lost. And that was the last word we heard. So, yes, well, good to hear your voice. Yes, let's get the assignment and let everybody go and hope for better technology on Monday.
Okay. It's the assignment for today is, what do you believe about yourself and life that keeps you from doing this? This being the most loving, compassionate thing you could do for yourself right now.
Uh-huh. What do you believe about life and yourself?
Yes, that keeps you
from compassion.
Yes, doing the most loving and compassionate thing you could do for yourself right now.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a good one. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Go happy. Treasure yourselves.
We'll talk to you Monday.
Bye-bye.